Welcome to the Bible Foundations program. Again, I'm your host, Jerry Smythe, and it's my joy to take you on an excursion through the Word of God, beginning in Genesis, actually going back into eternity past as God unveils to us the truths of Himself and shows us His magnificent and awesome power. I'm reminded today as we start our program of a scripture over in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, which tells us, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal Godhead." You see, God unveiled Himself to us just in the creation of the world. He shows us that He's infinitely beyond our understanding, and yet He relates to us in telling us that we, mankind, have been made in the image of Himself. But who is God? What does He look like? What is He like? Is He a real being? Is He one whom we can trust? Is He one whom we can understand? Well, in these first three chapters of Genesis, which is as far as we've gone so far, we understand that God is a person. We see this demonstrated as He speaks, as He sees, as He causes movement, as He thinks and intelligently plans and sees and hears and reasons and desires and determines. We see that what He creates is orderly, it's planned, that He initiates it by His own power, by His own will, and that He has emotion, that He feels good or bad about things. And we see that He loves variety, and He loves color, and that He is indeed a greater power than you and I can comprehend in our humanity. You see, God is a God of attributes beyond humanity. He is eternal. He's sovereign. You see, there is no higher authority than God, our God. You see, He's the creator because He is the source of all things. He's the cause of all things. He's the provider, the life giver, the breath giver, the sustainer of all things, the illuminator, if you will. By His very word, light exists. And then later, the sun and the moon and the stars are made. And we see that He's the source of all knowledge. He knows how to make everything. He knows all about everything. He knows the very thoughts and intents of man's hearts. And He knows every word of every language. You see, He's everywhere all at once. God is a spirit. God is spirit. He's spirit who fills the entire universe, my friend, beyond our very universe, beyond the firmament that contains our universe, if you will. And we see in His character that He is perfect, that He is pure, that He is holy, that He's righteous, that He is just, that He's consistent, and He's unchanging. And He demonstrates Himself to mankind right in these early chapters by showing His love and His mercy. Now, He's the source of all good things, of all kindness and all caring. You see, in His character, there is no sin. He is the right. He is the standard. He's the perfect standard, you see. And we see, even from our last lesson together, that He hates sin. And because He's consistent and because He's unchanging, He must judge sin. And that's the process that we're involved in Genesis chapter 3 right now, as we see Adam and Eve, God's creation, now hiding themselves from the presence of God. You see, God is the owner as well as our creator. Because He is our creator, He is the owner, He is our owner, and He has the right to tell us what to do. He has the right to tell Adam and Eve what to do, that where they should live, that they should live in this garden that He created especially for them. Not knowing themselves what would be good for themselves, God created that perfect environment just for them so that they could have fellowship together with Him. He desired fellowship with them. He wanted them to commune with Him. And we see in this lesson today that God faithfully came in the cool of the day to demonstrate His presence to them personally. Folks, this is not something that you and I can understand. This is not something we've experienced. We've not been able to literally walk in a garden with God, our Creator, in His presence being so awesome that we would delight in the fellowship with Him because of His demonstration of His love for us. This is something that's beyond what we've experienced in our human being and our human relationships today. Well, as we were saying when we were last together, this in Genesis chapter 3 is not just some mythical story of an apple and a snake and a woman. This is a critical point of all human history, my friend. Up until for 4,000 years, this was the most critical point. And we see that God is demonstrating himself to us in a way where we can know him. And that's why he's told us about what took place in the Garden of Eden between between Eve and the serpent, and then Eve and her husband Adam, and now we see God interacting with them and holding them accountable. My friend, there is no one who is not going to be accountable to God. You may think that you can ignore God. You may think that you're independent from him, and certainly we tend to exaggerate that kind of a lifestyle today. We're convinced that we're not accountable to anybody. We don't want to be accountable. But my friend, shutting God out of your mind will not solve the problem. We are accountable to God, and we are, like Adam and Eve, going to have to answer for how we obey or disobey what he has told us to do. God had the right to set the boundaries for Adam and Eve, and he told them that they may eat of the fruit of the garden for whatever would please them, with one exception. And that one exception was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told them the basic parameters. He said, if you eat of this fruit, the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Well, then we see now in Genesis chapter 3 that Satan enters the picture, and he comes as a serpent. He comes as an angel that looks good, an angel of light, as we're told over in 2 Corinthians. And it says this in chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any of beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And we're reminded that that's still the tactic that Satan uses today. The number one thing he does, even while people are sitting in church, is say, did God really say that? He surely didn't mean that. And we reason away the literalness of what God says to us even today. You see, that's the same tactic that he used right here in the garden. Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest he die. You see, Satan already had her confused, for God had not said, you shall not touch it. He said, you shall not eat of it. And so Satan is already confusing here Eve at this point in the garden. And the serpent said, verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that the day ye eat the fruit thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. Now, you see what Satan was doing here? First of all, he's calling God a liar. He's calling God a liar because he hates God. He's already been judged by God, and he knows that the lake of fire has been prepared for him and for his followers that rebelled with him before the world began. When God judged sin in the presence of Satan and all the other angels, and he cast Satan and his followers out of their place of service because God cannot stand sin in his presence, you see. And so we see here in Scripture that Satan uses the same old tactics. He says that God is a liar. You can't really believe what the Bible says. You can't really accept it, for there's lots of other factors to bring in and to consider. But my friend, what God has said is eternal. He says, my word is settled forever in heaven. And he holds his word higher than his very name. My friend, what God has revealed to you and I in the Bible is of vital importance to us, and we must understand it in order that we may come to God, God's way. For he is the blessed controller of all things, and every man will stand before him accountable, as you and I will one day, just as Adam and Eve do at this particular setting. So we read in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant for the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. We recognize in this passage of Scripture that the tree looked good. Evil things frequently look very good. And that's what Satan does to us. You see, he places in our minds, oh, that can't be so bad. And that's precisely what took place here. There's a passage over in 1 John chapter 2 that reminds us of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And these three things were the very areas that Satan himself attempted to attract Eve in. He was telling her it'll be good for her. Oh, you don't really have to believe what God has said. Now look how good this would be to eat. Doesn't it seem attractive to you? Ah, go ahead. It's not going to hurt anybody or anything. And besides, what you were told about death, well, that's not really going to happen, you see. That's just going to be, you'll see that it won't really happen. And so she took of the fruit. And she desired to be wise. She desired to be independent from God. You see, that's what the real issue is here, was the desire to know for themselves. Oh, my friend, have you ever told someone that you want your children to find out about God for themselves? They can choose their own religion, their own church. They can choose this, they can choose that. But my friend, God created us with a need to be dependent on Him and to seek His will and to seek His direction for our lives. And He wants us to know about Him. It is a matter of life or death, eternal life or death, as well as physical life or death, to know God and to know how to please Him and to know also what displeases Him. You see, when they took of that fruit, and by the way, the woman was deceived. But let's be reminded, fellas, that the guy made a deliberate choice. He chose, rather than call on God at that moment in a spirit of humility, he chose to be independent, and he chose to eat so that he too could know good as well as evil. And he wanted to know what the difference was. God didn't intend for them to know that difference, but he made them with an ability to reason, an ability to think, an ability to choose, and they made a wrong choice. And this is a critical point in history. For my friend, this is where the division between man and God came so real, which we experience yet today. Now, when we signed off last time, we talked about looking at the signs of separation, looking at the evidence of separation from God. Now, just a reminder before we talk about that some more, that death in God's view is different than it is in ours. And we have a limited understanding of what death really is from God's perspective. You see, they died the moment that they took of that fruit and they knew evil as well as good. They died in their separation from the source of their life. They no longer had friendship with God. They died in their ability to communicate with Him as they once had, in the fellowship. Fellowship is more than just verbal communication, but an interaction of the Spirit, you see, an interaction of that inner being between God and man to God. Adam and Eve enjoyed that with each other without sin, without lust in the garden where they were placed to get to know each other. And there was no evil there. There were no thorns. There was nothing there that could disturb their own fellowship with each other and with God. But now things were different. You see, they had died spiritually in their relationship to God. You see, when we cut off a branch from a tree, we take that branch and hold it on our hands, and it's still green. And the branch itself is still somewhat flexible, but it's been cut off from its source of life. And friends, that's what took place in the garden that day. That's what took place. And that's why we are so misled so often in understanding what God says about death. You see, we don't really comprehend having been born away from that source of life. Because everyone born, as we'll see in our next lesson, everyone born from this time off is born spiritually dead to God. They're born spiritually separated from God. Yes, there's still the soul and there's still the body, but they're born spiritually separated from God. and unless he miraculously intervenes, there can be no fellowship with him. You see, just like cutting that branch off and holding it in your hand is just kind of, it's like what happened to Adam and Eve. Death wasn't evident in their bodies the day that they disobeyed God. They were still breathing, they were still walking around, but they had died to God. That part which was made in God's image so that they could know him and love him and obey him was immediately separated from God when they disobeyed his command. They were now separated from him and had become enemies of God. They had aligned themselves up with Satan, you see. Their bodies would eventually die too, and they would go to the place of everlasting punishment which God had prepared for Satan and his evil spirits. Well, let's look at the signs of separation. You see, first of all, they were now separated from God. And because they were separated, the first sign was that their attitude toward their bodies had changed. Their attitude toward their bodies changed immediately. Before they disobeyed God, they were naked and they were not embarrassed. They were not embarrassed at all, but now they were separated from God, and their minds were no longer under God's control. Their minds became evil, and their attitude toward their own bodies changed. They were embarrassed by their naked bodies. The second thing that seems to have happened there is that they started to provide for their own needs. You see, all other occasions had involved their going directly to God and asking his help or his favor or whatever it might have been for their situation, his advice, just as a young entrepreneur who's taking over his father's business would go back and ask for advice on daily business matters. That's the way it was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But now they were separated from that, see? Now they were trying to provide their own needs. Before they had looked to God to provide everything they needed, but now they tried to do things for themselves. You see, now they were clothing themselves with fig leaves. Nobody told them to do that. They just knew that they were naked and they decided that they would make an attempt to cover themselves. They no longer trusted God to give them what they need. You see, they were trying to live independently from God. Perhaps they reasoned that if they clothed themselves, then God wouldn't notice that anything happened. Well, that's pretty typical of how we are. And man is so separated from God, if you were to just take a piece of paper and draw it, lay it out in a landscape form so that it's horizontal to you, and in the left corner you would draw a square, and in the right corner you'd draw a pretty good sized square, and you'd write man over the left top and God over the right top with a great chasm between. You see, we keep trying to put trust in an outward appearance, and that's what Adam and Eve did. They were now coming out of hiding to God from God in their fig leaves, and they figured that they could make an outward appearance that would cover what was really going on inside of them. But it didn't work, as we'll see. You see, God does not accept us based on the outward appearance. Just as Adam and Eve tried to make themselves acceptable to God by putting on clothes, many people think they can make themselves acceptable to God by other outward appearances of respectability. Some people put on these kind of clothings, such as becoming church members, becoming good parents. Oh, they work hard at being good parents, and that's commendable. That's certainly something that God endorses. But others try to portray themselves as being really good persons by endeavoring to be law-abiding citizens, and certainly that's an acceptable thing. Many others hold membership in civic and charitable organizations, but God says in 1 Samuel 16:7, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And my friend, just as he was able to look into the heart of Satan himself and his evil followers, he looked in the heart in Adam and Eve, who were trying to cover their nakedness. But when God came to visit them, they tried to hide themselves, but it didn't work. Well, have you ever had friends whom you enjoyed visiting? You see, God loved Adam and Eve, and he came at the close of the day to talk to him. Before they were separated from God, they loved him, and they wanted to talk to him. But when God came after they disobeyed him, Adam and Eve hid. They tried to hide themselves from God. Their attitude toward God had changed because of their own disobedience. They were no longer his friends. And when God made Adam and Eve first, they were of one mind with God. But this was no longer true. They were now one mind with Satan. And they could now no longer understand God. You see, they didn't love God anymore. They were now under Satan's control. And they were on Satan's side. You see, because they had disobeyed God's command, they were shamed. They were ashamed and they were afraid. Afraid of God. Now, when your children deliberately disobey you as a parent, what do you suppose they do? Well, if they can get away with it, they'll go and hide, won't they? Well, when they know they've disobeyed, they know that they can't look you in the eye. And they're not very happy with themselves because they know they've disobeyed. Well, that's the way it was with Adam and Eve, you see. Sin is disobedience to God. And sin, disobedience to God, brings fear and causes people to turn away from God. That's why so many people today have written off the first three chapters of Genesis. We have to write out these three chapters or believe them. And folks, even if you do write them off, it doesn't change the fact of them. They're still going to happen. God is still faithful. And even if you choose to ignore him and write him out of your life, the facts of God's existence are there and the facts of his judgment will still remain. So the answer for us is to come to God, God's way. And his way is by understanding him through the Bible, which he has given. You see, when God created Adam and Eve, they didn't fear anything. There was nothing in the world to fear. God was their friend. No animals would hurt them. All the world was good and beautiful. Sickness and death did not exist. Disobedience to God is the reason we have fear in the world today. It's the very reason for all the fears around us. You see, ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, there have been terrible fears in the hearts of men and women. Perhaps there are terrible fears, some of which will follow as examples in your life right today. My friend, come to God, God's way. You see, acknowledge him and begin by subjecting ourselves to him and agreeing with him. You see, we may not like to talk about our fears, but every single one of us have them. We fear sickness. We fear death. We fear financial ruin. Oh, nothing could be worse in this world of American life than financial ruin. And then we fear war or enemy attack. We read the newspaper and listen to the news every day, and we hear about the murders on our streets, and every town has them by the hundreds, it seems, these days in a single month. And then we ask ourselves, is the water really drinkable? Is the food really safe to eat? Can I really believe what they're telling me about this or that? What's going to happen to the stock market that lost 150 points in a single day? My friends, you realize that one single day was more than caused the 1929 crash? That 150 drop was more than what took place to cause the financial ruin of the United States in 1929. So we ask ourselves, what's going to happen to the stock market? Or even more personally, am I going to be able to pay my bills next month? Or will cancer strike my home? Are my children safe on the local playground? Do you realize, my friend, that Adam and Eve didn't have any fear of this kind when they were trusting God, when God first created them and they were in fellowship with him? Do you think that Adam and Eve should have been afraid of God? Would he really punish them for their disobedience? Or is God like many people who only makes idle threats? Oh, I hear so many people, parents, threatening their children. If you don't do this, I'll... And we never carry through. And consequently, our children learn that we don't mean what we say. But you see, my friend, God is not like that. He is a faithful God. He never changes. And that provides security for us, but it also helps us to realize face to face that we have a responsibility to him. You see, God does not merely threaten. He didn't merely threaten Lucifer and the angels when they rebelled. No, God always does exactly as he has promised to do. He's not like us, who so often fail to do what we've said we would do. You see, God is faithful. He does not change. He doesn't waver. Now, neither does he neglect what he's promised. He always keeps his promises. Now, had Adam and Eve been warned of the consequences of sin? Yes, God had clearly warned them. He'd shown them his loving kindness, but he had plainly told them that the terrible thing would happen to them if they disobeyed him. Now, it's important that we understand that although the devil or Satan was there to tempt them, the devil didn't make them do it. They chose by their own will to disobey God. They made that choice. Oh, Satan may have put thoughts into their minds as we see the example happening, but they made a choice. They had the ability to choose, and they would have glorified God ultimately had they chosen not to disobey. But they chose to disobey. What should Adam and Eve have done in response to God's command? They should have obeyed him out of love, you see. They should have obeyed him because he had clearly warned them of the punishment for disobedience. But Adam and Eve went ahead and disobeyed God in spite of all of his kindness and his stern warning to them. Now Adam and Eve had good reason to be afraid of God. Why? Because they had disobeyed him, and he was their creator. They depended on God for everything. The very breath that they had in their bodies was given by God. All that they had came from God. And yet Adam deliberately disobeyed God's command. Friend, God is consistent. He always punishes those who disobey any of his commands. Now, where was Adam and Eve when God came to the garden? Were they able to hide from God? No. We've already established that God is everywhere all the time. He knows what's going on in the very hearts of his creations. And he knew what was going on in Satan's heart. He knows what's going on in our hearts. He knew what was going on in the heart of Adam and Eve. Now, God saw that Adam and Eve were trying to hide among the trees. But can anybody hide from God? Is there any place we can go to hide from God? As we read before in Psalm 139, there's no place we can go to hide from God. There's anywhere we go, God is already there, you see. He doesn't need a body to get there. He's already there because he's spirit. God is everywhere and no one can hide from him. Jeremiah 23, verse 23 and 24 says, "Am I a God at hand and not afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord?" Well, indeed he does, my friend, and we see that example right here again. And that's a foundational fact that we can place our faith on. We can believe what God has said, because here he demonstrates himself to us in such an illustrative way. You see, we people, we do things that we know are wrong, and when we do, we usually try to do them where other people can't see them. Other people will do evil things in the dark as well, you see. But God sees everything. The light and the darkness are alike to him. Nothing can be hidden from God. And God has heard and seen everything that we've said and done from the very day that we were born. Now, folks, what we've just heard is no simple tale about a man and a woman and a snake. It's the tragic event of man's separation from God. Adam and Eve were separated from God because of their sin. They were separated from him immediately, just as he said they would be. This is one important thing that we can learn from this story, is that God always tells the truth. His word is true. It's reliable. We can believe it because he always does exactly what he says.